Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
3, 2, 1, recording. I want to recognize our guest today. I'm really proud to have him on. I've known this coach for a long time. I think we started the magazine, when I started the magazine, having it in 1997. One of the first coaches I met, assistant coaches at the time, was Frank Daggs. One of the most well-respected D-line coaches in the New Orleans area and in the state, I think, and knows his stuff, and great developer of kids. And today we have that gentleman, Frank Daggs. Thank you for joining us, Coach.
Hey, no problem. I'm happy to be on.
Frank, we go way back. Like I said, we've talked recruiting. I've been to practices and games. You know, last year I saw your team play. And first of all, before we get started, I wanted to honor Wayne Reese, the late Wayne Reese, who meant a lot to a lot of people. And I looked up to him. Respected the hell out of him. I mean, you know, a coach, this would have been his 50th year of coaching, passed away in April the 2nd, right. And at the age of 75, and meant a lot to you. And he was the head coach at McDonough 35. Now you're the head coach. You've replaced him, obviously big shoes, but you've been on the staff with him. This would have been, what, your 18th year with him?
I started with him in 2003, and at McDonough 35. I remember summer 2003. I started here and been with him ever since. And I'm laughing because of the fact that he said 50 years. And I remember we sitting in his office last year around this time and saying, "Man, Coach, I could retire again. I retire at 30. I could retire again at 20.
Yeah,
almost 50 years." And I started laughing because, you know, back in the day, you would retire for a day and come back. And he said, well shit, this time I'm going to retire and don't come back.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, he meant a lot to a lot of people, huh, Frank? I mean, not just the players,
man,
but everybody in the community.
He was a dinosaur to the community because they don't make it like him no more. Everything he had, he gave. He never said no to nobody. You know, that's one trait that I remember him, and I always will try to duplicate. He never said no to nobody. Always had open arms, and his blessings always came back to him, you know?
I remember in 2004, Frank, y'all were practicing, and, you know, people don't understand, y'all got to go off campus to practice. Y'all got to drive to the field,
right.
You know, and I met y'all there, and I remember Coach unloading all the dummy bags, everything. I mean, he was unloading. He had two players that he actually drove there that didn't have vehicles, and he was unloading all the equipment, and he was doing it all and loved it. You know, going to practice, watching him, you know, interact with the kids and be able to,
right,
be able to jump on kids, and yet they understood, you know, and –
He
had a way of doing it.
Yeah, right. We had a commute since 2003 to 2019. We commuted off campus for practice. This is last year was our first year actually walking out to our backyard and saying, "Okay, we make a practice here for a little while, you know, but we still don't have lights." But you know, when daylight saving time come every year for the playoffs, we never get a full practice in because the lights, you know, it gets dark at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we don't get out of school at 4 o'clock, you know?
Man.
So it's like, you have to get an hour in and try to get the cars out there to put lights up, or you try to go to a local playground or something off campus, whatever you need to do to try to get lights in for the playoffs. And every year it's an adventure every year, you know? And you're saying about Coach carrying everything on his truck. That's every day, every practice, every game day, he'll fill his truck up and roll and go. And I remember riding all the way to the game across the river or game better anywhere locally. We would go fly down, you blow that truck up and go. Whenever we had to go to Lafayette or Lake Charles or something, that's the only time we get a U-Haul truck or a bus to put it in the bottom. Other than that, it's on the truck, you know.
Yeah, Coach Wayne Reese, the late Wayne Reese, from 2002, his first year at McDonough 35 to 219 in the playoffs every year. And you were there with him since 2003. And just always found a way to rebuild teams, you know, and lose a big senior group and always play a new group every year. And, Coach, what's it like being now the head coach of McDonough 35 and taking over for Wayne? And what does that mean to you?
Real big shoes to fill. You know, Coach did everything, you know, and everybody respected him around the city. And the school is like, you know, very rich in tradition, great alumni and stuff. So everything is real, like real big shoes to fill for him, you know. Right now, he's talking about rebuilding a class of, we lost, 28 seniors last year. So now we're trying to find people to plug in. And, you know, with our city, just letting us had some contact this past week. We had 2 days of contact because the weather was so bad down here with the rain. I'm out the Gulf, so we only had 2 days of contact. And, you know, we just got to get back into the swing of things. And I think probably about a week or two, maybe 3 weeks. I know the season starts next week, but a week or two or three, I think we'll be all right, you know. But right now, everything is slow motion, you know.
Coach Dax, we're going to take a break, come back real quick. I want to talk to you about in the show later, we'll talk about your scrimmage, Brother Martin. Also talk about your current team. And I want to talk about the stars from McDonough playing in college, like Brad Stewart, Cy Martin at Missouri, Brad Stewart at Florida, Joe at Arkansas. I mean, it goes on and on. We'll be right back.
Hello, Sports Scouting Report fans. Like what you're hearing? Well, you're going to love our content at LAFootballMagazine.com. This week, make sure to check out our recruit spotlight articles on Pope John Paul II linebacker Jalen Thomas, Neville running back / linebacker Lane Blue, East Ascension defensive lineman Jarrell Boykins Jr., and finally, White Castle athlete Taj Favorite. Also, make sure to go to our website at LAFootballMagazine.com to pre-order our North and South magazine editions for the upcoming 2020 season. All that and more at LAFootballMagazine.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Scouting Report. We have Frank Daggs, the new head football coach, McDonough 35. Look, he's not new. He's just now the head coach. He's been there for many years, since 2003, as the D-line coach and helping that defense and develop those guys. Coach, y'all had a scrimmage last night against Brother Martin. How did that go?
Man, Brother Martin had a real good team, man. Look. That running back they have is real, real
so
good.
I was right?
Man.
I was right?
You were right on the ball. That guy there is a real good. I don't understand why he has to walk when he's a senior. He needs to be playing at somebody's college next year.
Remember I was telling you the two nights before, I said, check out. I don't know if it's pronounced Jalen or Jalen Spears, but
Jalen Spears.
Jalen Spears, 5'8", 200, 205. I think he's D1, Coach.
He's every bit of 205 pounds, 5'9", and he's low. He reminds me of great vision. He's almost like they used to have a guy. Did Dante Butler play for them a couple of years ago?
Yeah, Dante, kind of same build.
Yeah. But I think he's better than him.
I do, too, because I don't think Dante has the burst he's got.
Oh, no. That kid had a burst, accelerates through the whole day low, and he's gone. He's out of there.
And he breaks tackles. And I know y'all got some good defensive guys, and he can break tackles. He runs through people.
Yes, he does. He does. He did run through us last night, I can tell you that.
Well, let's talk about your defensive guys. Y'all got some good players on defense. I know y'all lost a lot, but David Ellis is back, had over 100 tackles, really good hybrid outside linebacker.
David played last night. Played out of middle linebacker again. Come outside sometimes, but David Ellis did well. Jamari Henderson did well.
Another good one. Walter Robert. Walter on D line, huh? Walter Robert.
Oh yeah, Walter Robert did well. Yeah, those four did real well yesterday. Even Larry Armanet did well at the cornerback position last night. We had an all right time, but you know, it comes down to tackling that guy and he got a hidden tackle, but with a real contact, you know, I'm glad we see somebody like him so we can get ready, you know.
Did Tariq Jones play last night for you, DN?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He played Tariq Jones, played defensive end last night, did well.
And look, let's talk about him, Coach, because, you know, y'all have had – the program's had some great players. Delwin Bro played for Canada, the Saints. Talman Gardner, Florida State. Carlos Henderson had a great career at Tech at receiver. Chris Clark, offensive tackle. You know, Neil Smith, it goes on and on. But – and we'll talk about Brad Stewart and Joe and then Cy Martin later in the show. But, I mean, this kid – had 22 sacks last year, 22 sacks for your D-line last year. And, I mean, that's hard to do to get 22 sacks. I mean, that's a big time. And I saw him play against Baker when y'all were in the playoffs against Baker. And he's long, man, 6'3", what, 230, can run?
Yeah. He said he's 6'2". I call him 6'2".
Okay.
I said he's 6'2", 230. Good burst, good long, good extension, play with the hips. You know, everything a guy wants. You know, in college, they offer him a rushing slash outside linebacker.
Yeah, Buck.
He actually committed to Hawaii about a month ago, you know, with Tony Hall. You know, Tony Hall is in Hawaii now. So he said he'll go out there and continue his career out there once he finishes here.
We'll give him that one-inch tennis shoe inch, right? Tennis shoes.
Hot
tops.
He comes standing up next to me and go to the wall and say, look, Coach, I got taller than yesterday. He does it every day. Man, you know, he's going to be all right. But you know, a lot of people don't know. He just made 17 years old. So he's a big kid, you know.
And he's tall. So he's long, though. That's what's good, though.
Right.
And I want to mention a kid you got that doesn't get a lot of – he doesn't get a lot of – you know, mentioned, but he's a two-time All-State offensive lineman for you. He's 5'10", George Jackson. Two-time All-State.
He's going to bring Lush Taylor work every day. In practice, we got to slow him down. Game day, slow him down. He want to drive block somebody 15 yards downfield and dome him every time. That's his goal every day. And he's going to bring Lush every day. Every minute, every second.
You don't have to motivate him. He motivates himself.
No. I'll motivate himself. And then he motivates the rest of the offensive line. So when they see him doing it on film, all of them want to do it. So we have a group coming back this year that's 4 out of 5 guys back. We have a younger guy coming back at the center position, but he's good also. So we'll be okay up front, you know?
Yeah, you got Kyle Cooper and Jerron Porter. A couple of really good, solid seniors.
We have Kyle Cooper, Jalen Parker, Ramon James, all of them coming back to help George out.
Yeah, and then you had Caleb DeRoan, but Caleb's not back, right?
Yeah.
Caleb's back?
Yeah. Yeah, Caleb DeRoan, he's still playing now. He's still playing, but he thinks, you know, everybody wants to deserve a try. He wants to try to keep on the side of the ball, but we'll see how the film looks and see what's going to happen. And now we go right back where he was at all.
Yeah, and he's a big guy, 6'3", what, 330, big kid.
Yeah, I think the scale just stopped at 330. The scale we had to stop at 330.
Might be 350, 360, huh, Coach? We're going to take a quick break. I want to brag on the alumni. You've coached some great ones. I'm going to talk about the current guys. You got 3 SEC players from McDonough 35, 3 players on defense playing in the SEC. We're going to be right back.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back to Sports Scouting Report. We've got head coach Frank Daggs from McDonough 35. It's his first year as head coach, but this is not his first year at McDonough 35. He's been there for a long time. And, Coach, I think the best safety in the SEC, I'm going to go out on a limb. People are going to say, you crazy? And I'm going to go, no, because I've seen him. Your former DB, and I might butcher the last name, but I know it was Joe, was it Fouché?
Fouché.
Joe Fouché. 5'11", 188, 87 tackles last year.
No. He's not 188 no more.
He's bigger?
He's never been a 212 right now.
Whoa, man. And he had 87 tackles for Arkansas last year. Get this, and you know this, 44 solo tackles for Arkansas in 19.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a high draft pick, Coach.
Well, look, I talked to him when that was 2 days ago. I kind of talked to these guys every other week, once a week or whatever. I talked to him. He said, Coach, I'm loving this new defense that Odom put in, Barry Odom put in, and they have me going around. I'm blitzing off the edge. I'm playing my coverage. I'm roaming the field, getting picks. And he sent me little clips and stuff sometimes. I was like, yeah, well, he's doing the same thing he did in high school, so I'm glad you're happy now, you know?
Frank, he's putting up video numbers like high school numbers. That's when you know you're great in college. But Joe's got a little something to him, man. He's got a little Ronnie Lott in him. He's got that can cover, can hit you. I mean, he's got that NFL pedigree to me. I think he's got that not just toughness. He's got that swag to him. You know, when he's out there,
he got the swag.
He's tough. Like nobody wants to go in his little area and be hit by
Oh no. Yeah, that's gonna be tough. I can't wait to watch the game on tomorrow, on Saturday. I'm gonna watch them play. I'm gonna watch watch LSU play, of course. You know, we'll try to watch everybody play tomorrow. Man, look, I just can't wait to see them because I think they play Florida in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Well,
here's one. You got a kid at Florida. They're playing Ole Miss at Oxford tomorrow. And Brad Stewart is another one. He's got an NFL career, DB, for Florida.
Yeah. That's the most natural person when it comes down to football that we've had here, I think, since I've been here. Everything he does is so natural. He loves the game of football. He studies the game of football. He knows the game of football. So everything you try to do on him, he'll know it before you do it. That's why he had 4 pick sixes his senior year, you know?
Hey, here's a stat, Coach Daggs. Brad is the only DB to do a pick six on Joe Burrow.
Oh, wow. I remember that, too.
Remember that in 2018 in Gainesville?
Yeah. Right. I remember that.
And that won the game. That sealed the game for Florida.
All right. And I remember that. Let me just say I remember that game. Yes, I have to.
And then you got Saw Martin, who came out of McDonough 35. You coached on D-line. It signed with LSU, went to a junior college. Now he's at Missouri. I know he's banged up right now. They said he's going to miss the first couple of games, but I'm excited to see Saw Martin play for Missouri this year.
Yeah, he better. His last go around, he's going to put his hand in, like I always tell him, put your hand in there, come off that rock and make something happen. He had 33 sacks in his senior, and now he's going back. I think they're going to a 3-4 defense up there again, so now he's considered outside back / DN pass rusher, so that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, he can be their buck pass rusher when he gets healthy. I wish he was able to play against Alabama. I would love to see him against Alabama.
And that was one of his schools. He was recruiting him at the time with Alabama, LSU. And he used to love Alabama, and I know he wanted to go play against him. So hopefully you get a chance to get right to play him, you know.
Frank, I got to ask you this, and we talk a lot you know, we talk at least 2 or 3 times a year, but when Cy was being recruited, I know you get a lot of college coaches, and Coach Reese and you over the years, that y'all get all the coaches come through there. But when Cy was being recruited, I remember Nick Saban and Ed Orgeron were both there the same day. What was that like?
Man, it was Nick Saban, Coach Burns, and then you had Ogeron coming in, and it was like, okay, Coach Burns, my old high school coach, and Coach Burns was the, you know, coach with Coach Reese mm-hmm. back in the early 80s, you know. So it was like, that family, you know. And then, yeah, Coach Ogeron, that family, as far as the state coach, you know, the state coach, we're like, hold on. We did not know they was coming at the same time. So we're like, okay, it's 9, I think it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock that morning. And we're like, okay, we have a big school. One person go to the other side. One person go to the other side. We make it all work. We make it all happen, you know. Mm-hmm. So we did what we had to do, get them in so they won't see each other and get them out of there, you know.
That's amazing. People don't understand that because that's awkward when those college coaches in there trying to put the final sell on right. one of those kids. Y'all got to be like the referee, right?
Right. Right. That was years ago. And now with that new rule, about last year or two, you know, coaches can't talk to the kids like they used to, like they did back then. So now, you know, we just keep all the coaches in the back by the coaches' offices, and we just talk to them ourselves. They don't talk to any kids really over here anymore.
Let me ask you this, Frank, and we've talked about recruiting off the air a lot, but if you could see one rule change with college coaches, what would you like to see change with the NCAA for college coaches coming in the spring? You know how they come in March, April, May.
You're right. But April, they come in April and May. But let me say this, man. And I might only be me. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
A lot of things got to change with the NCAA about recruiting because the recruiters get out of hand.
Right.
Especially with this cyber internet recruiting. Mm-hmm. They offering kids online and not calling the coaches and stuff. And some people have a fake account and offering the kids. And the kids really think they're getting an offer from the school and they really don't have an offer from the school and things like that, you know. So a lot of that stuff has to change. You got to go back old school with when you offer a kid, please call the head coach first or call one of the coaches on the staff, you know. that's one thing. As far as them coming out and recruiting, I would love all the coaches come, head coach and assistant coaches to come because when the head coach is able to see the kids that they really like, it would be a no-brainer when they go back into the offices and they have to sit down at the table with the coordinators and the position coaches. Mm-hmm. And everybody go to their own area. But you only can take one kid up for that position. But when the head coach is able to go around and see them themselves or coordinator go around and see them themselves, they make a change in their mind instead of just looking at the film. So a lot of kids also get messed over like that because, you know, the recruiter come from their area. They love you. They build a relationship with you. They go back and sit at the table and stand on the table for you. But the coordinator and head coach, like the people in their area, and it's like a tug-of-war game a little bit for mm-hmm. kids. So, and especially this year with COVID, with limited spots for seniors, they granted, another year for seniors.
Right,
this year.
It's going to hurt.
Our seniors in high school going to have a problem going to school because now it's limited spots.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A kid that would normally get a Division I major offer may not get it because the NCAA granted their seniors an extra year.
You know what else is going to hurt? You know what else? You know what else is going to hurt, Coach?
It's going to hurt. Ooh.
You know what else, Frank's going to hurt recruiting?
What? All
these 1AA Southland schools aren't even going to play football till the spring, their season.
Oh, yeah. NCAA is going to have to change that for signing day purposes.
Right. So they got to move it back.
Right. You have a December class and you got a February signing class. Well, the kids don't, if they don't play until the spring, how are you going to know what you have left over?
And how
do you know if you sign a kid in December, are they going to be eligible to come play for you? Or scholarship will be open, you know?
Well, how are they going to how are they going to recruit while they're trying to win games?
Right.
How are they going to go to your school when they got a game? You know what I mean? I don't know how they're going to recruit and play their season at the same time.
You got the Southern schools. You got the SWAC schools. I think I read something last night that Pac-12 talking about playing 6 or 8 games.
Yeah.
Whenever in the late fall or, you know, it's so much going on that it's a big mess, in other words. Man, I'm lost right now, to be honest with you. We're lost on a high school level because we have seniors that can't get their senior year back.
Yeah.
They're lost on the college level, but all their kids can come back if need be, unless the one is high profile guy that goes straight to the NFL. They can opt out this shit to hell with them going to the NFL.
Frank,
it's a cluster right now.
I got an idea. I want to get your thoughts on this and my listeners. I got a great idea for the NCAA. You ready for this?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think the NCAA should let all their grad assistant coaches and analysts, whatever you want to call them, to come to the high schools during their season, because during the season, the assistant coaches can't come to the high schools.
Right.
And right now, if you're not an assistant coach, you cannot go off campus to a high school, which I think they need more personnel going out during the season because they can't get to these kids, especially during not having any spring evaluation and going to schools this past year. But don't you, what would you think of that? Because all these grad assistant coaches that are D-line coaches or any of these analysts, why don't they let them go to the high schools and recruit while the coaches are preparing for the season, like the college coaches?
You're right, man. That'll sound good for me, because at least you get, some type of movement going on in the recruiting game instead of just online,
Right. I mean, that personal touch of going to school, I mean, obviously be safe, but that personal touch of, lining up an appointment and saying, look, I'm the grad assistant D-line coach from, let's just say, Florida. Well, he can fly in and come to your school while the Florida D-line coach is out there, practicing for Florida, trying to get ready for a game. But the grad assistant can be there, as a go-between. And I don't know why. I'm going to think it's silly why they won't let them do that.
Well, I'll tell you one reason why. Because the great GA, he's the great analysts and everything else, the ones that have the great paperwork and everything ready for the coaches for the game,
Right.
It takes a lot of time and preparation for those coaches to get ready for the game. So that's an intricate part. Them guys, I've seen them guys hard at work. I'm telling you, if you ever seen a grad assistant or an analyst really working, I'm amazed on all the hard work they do. And they're really getting all the numbers, games, and everything ready for the coaches, man. It's a hard job for them.
Yeah.
So you take them out off the weekly practice to go recruit. That's going to slow down and put more work on the actual position coach that they already have. Because the position coach already swamped under with work,
Right.
So that'd be a little tough thing. I like the idea, but it'd be tough on everybody else inside their building if that would happen.
So here it is. I got the answer for it. Hire one person in-state and hire one person for out-of-state that just give them the title full-time recruiter, assistant to the coaches, and that's what they do. They just go to the schools year-round.
Right. That'd be good then. Yeah, don't take nobody to have out this building because they already have a lot going on inside there with the preparation. But you could get hire more people to do what you're saying. Yeah, I could deal with that. Yeah, that's good.
Or they can go back to hiring me to do it as a consultant. I'll do it. I'll help. We talked about that. They don't want as much help as they used to. They like to call you late. Like, they'll call me in January.
Yeah.
But they won't call me early when they really need to get on kids early.
Well, one thing about it, when I walk in recruiting offices around the country and you see a wall like the size of like an auditorium almost, and you have people names from 2020 all the way up to 2025.
Right.
I'm sitting there like, kid in eighth grade, how in the world do you know what to do? Because you see what the deal is, you're looking at all these AAU football leagues or travel football leagues, and these kids have, the 13U or 14U, they probably highlight something, and you see the kid all around the country, all of a sudden you got to see, what high school they're going to, what's going on with this, what's going on with that. And that's what kills the recruiting game now. And then the other part is all these all these 707
right.
You do.
Right.
You ain't do as much this year, but previous year, you have too many going on because, A, you get an all-star team to go travel, and, you know, and them guys, he's doing a great job. I love, you know, they take care of the kid. They go all around the country and travel. But when they come back to the high school coach, and then a college coach come to the high school and say, hey, what about this kid that was on this team? How is he? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can sit there and be like, yeah, coach, he's a great kid, but his academics may not be right.
Or
that's the one key.
Or
that's the one key you never thought about, you know.
Or when you're doing seven, yeah,
yeah.
Or you go 7-on-7, and the kid goes off and he lights it up, but he's not the football player in pads as he is in shorts.
Exactly, touch football is different from football. You know, I've seen that happen. A kid get all these offers from playing touch football for the big program.
Right.
You go turn on their film from the last season. Where is he now? You know, how many games he played in, or what could? Then you go to the following season after that great summer and be like, okay, press covers the pad, he can't get off the block. Oh, cornerback, okay. He can't do that either. Okay, well, why did we offer this kid again? You know,
right.
I've seen that happen.
Right. But too much information offer, that's not correct.
Right. 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 So, yes, indeed. So, yeah, you're right. A lot of things got to change in the recruiting year, and a lot of things got to change in the near future with NCAA.
Frank, that's why I still go to 100 games a year, man, because there's nothing like going to the game. Like, I watched McDonough 35. I ran into you. This was, what, in 2018, I went to the A-Meet game personally when y'all played A-Meet. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Sure,
I was there, and you get to see the guys from warm-up in person, in pads, all the way to the intensity on the field for the whole game. You get to see their effort. You get to see their technique. You get to see where they are. Are they raw? Are they developed? Are they polished? You know, you get to see this guy. Is he going to be in another position in college? You get to see. But you don't see some things watching that fuzzy film when you turn the film on. You don't see as much being there. You know, it's a different level. You know,
right? But I could agree, Lee. I can't agree. And like this year, I'm trying to see what I guess when we get in the swing of things the next couple of weeks. I want to go see some games also around the state. But now you got to figure out how we are able to go see.
Yeah.
What's going on? Every parish or every school may have their own protocol about people going in the games.
Right.
How many people come in the stadium? I don't know. You know, that's going to be kind of new
different
territory for me. Well, for everybody, should I say so? You know, I got games that I've seen online. They're talking about they play each other week two at Friday night. Okay, week two Friday night for me, I play on a Saturday. I don't
right,
mind going
right,
Friday,
right.
Friday. You know, they play. But can I get in the stadium? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that me too.
You know?
Look, I called yesterday. I talked to a coach from Tioga. I talked to some other coaches in the state. And, you know, coaches know me now 30 years, but I got to call the principal now. I got to get it approved. It's like getting a pass to go to, you know, it's like
right.
going to some military compound with like one of the things you got to slide through to go in a building, you know? So, I mean, it's
everybody
different.
Everybody has sideline passes. You got to call in advance. You know, everybody coaches calls, you know. But, you know, I've seen somebody have scrimmages advertised no coaches cards accepted. I'm like, wow.
And then in the college coaches, if they don't get an appointment, they're not going to let them walk in.
Well, I think I've heard, I don't know how true it is, that it's a dead period for them. They can't even come on campus
right.
anyway.
Right. Here's the deal. I don't get this.
I don't think they can come on to January 1st.
Isn't that crazy? Yes, look, that goes right a month before signing day.
All right. So
February 3rd is signing day.
And you recruit the kid. You're on the phone with him. The kid commits to you. You good with him. You happy with him. Well, you can't even see the kid in person no more. You don't know if he got taller, bigger, smaller, anything.
Yeah, so all these games, Saturday and the next Saturday and the next Saturday probably, you can't do any official visits with any of your players. They can't go to mm-hmm. Arkansas on the sideline. So all that's on hold right now.
Yep, you can't go. You can't. I can't. Actually, I wanted to go to a game, I think, next week. And we play Friday. I want to go to one of the games next week. And I had to hold off on doing that now because I don't know their protocol about even going to a game, you know?
Yeah, well, hopefully all that clears up. Hopefully we can get a vaccine and we can get this thing back, at least by, what, November, hopefully. Hopefully. And and look, they got to move. Don't you agree, Frank, that with all that's going on, all these moving parts, would you be okay if they move signing day to one time just in March? Signing day March instead of February?
I could go a step further because I know, like, Southern plays Grambling, I think, April 7th, supposedly. I would say everybody should do signing day on May the 1st because most of the school will be over with. Plus, you have, you know, all the football seasons may be over with for the ones that's playing in the spring.
That's a good idea.
I would say May 1st should be signing day. And, you know, at least football will be over with. And you already have a spring signing day, you know, back around that time. So you might have your baseball, your track, and every other sport. Everybody signed together, you know?
Right. And not only that, but it's perfect time. And if you want to be an early enrollee, you just enroll right in May. You just enroll into college.
Right. Because, you know, all the ones that thought they were going to go to school in January or May, I actually think. Well, all the ones that committed early and ready to go to school in December, sign in December, the early one, and so they could start school in January. Yeah, y'all could do that. You know, if you played your season or if your college recommend you to do that, fine. To be honest with you, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a December signing early period. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they might bring it back when things get back, but I don't think anybody's ready for December signing period early. I don't think anybody's ready for that. You know.
Right.
But Frank, thank you for calling in, friend. I appreciate you. You've always helped me. You know, you've always been on our TV show. You've always, when we did picture shoots in the past, you've always brought a bunch of kids. You've brought them all. And I'll tell you that as a friend, man, I really appreciate all that you've done to help me to help promote your kids at McDonough 35.
Hey, thank you, Lee. And I want to correct you on one thing. You said we had three SEC players. You forgot about one that's still there, and hopefully he'll be fully healthy this year.
Who's that?
Clifford Chapman. A&M.
Oh, man, you're right. You're right. You know what? You know why I didn't remember that? Because A&M, I still don't accept them in my head being the SEC team. And forgive me if you're an Aggie fan. Listen to this, all right? But he's actually – he's the most unique 6'5 DB I've ever seen. And I just keep waiting for Clifford to be given opportunity because he runs, what, 4.45 at 6'5, 200 some pounds? Yeah. I mean, he looks, he's 6'5 playing DB. So, I'm pulling for him to have a big game.
He also graduated in April. He graduated in August. He graduated from school, so he's in grad school now. So that's the biggest thing in my book. Like I said, I'm glad he has a degree from Texas A&M.
And Frank, I'm glad he stuck it out and didn't leave. He stayed at one school.
Right. These days, one person go to three schools in 2 years. It's like, you know, so now I tell all the kids, you start it, finish it, you know.
Clifford Chapman, man. You know, Clifford Chapman, it seems like he's been at A&M for 10 years. That's why I didn't remember. I'm like, man. But Frank, look, have a great day. I know you got to go to class. You at school. You got to go start school.
Like, right now, run to my computer because everything's virtual. I'm going to run to my computer right now.
And good luck October 3rd, man, when y'all kick the tee off for real. And we'll talk soon, man. Thank you.
All right, Lee. Thank you for having me, man.
All right, Coach Daggs. Frank Daggs, the head coach at McDonough 35, one of the best D-line coaches in the state of Louisiana. We're going to go ahead and close the show. If you haven't received your Louisiana Football Preview Magazine, go to our website, lafootballmagazine.com. You can get the North issue or the South issue. I actually got to get a copy to Coach Daggs. If Daggs doesn't have one already, Coach, I need to get one to you too, right?
Yes, sir.
I can get you one in the mail to Coach Daggs. And we had sent it, to a lot of the schools, and we're going to send them out again. But just if you're a parent listening, go to our website, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.